tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail.
The subway with the hustlers and the creeps. He rubbed shoulders with the thieves, and he looks a lot like everyone he sees. Oh, Jesus rides the subway while the pretty people sleep. He says you can lay your burden down. You can lay your burden down. But oh, baby, you can kick around. But you of sidewalks. That poverty accepts makes its home among the shacks, where the fatherless have fallen through the cracks. Yeah, Jesus strolls the sidewalks while the righteous turn their backs. He says you can lay your burden down. You can lay your burden down. Oh, baby, you've been kicked around. But you can lay your burden down. Jesus went to church on Sunday. He sat in the back and sang the hymns. But Jesus went to church on Sunday, but they didn't recognize him. He said, you can lay your burden down.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope each of you have had a blessed week. And, well, the Thanksgiving holiday has passed. And the Christmas season is now here upon us. Both holidays mean so much more than just getting together with family and eating a huge feast. Both holidays are about counting our blessings, family time, giving praise, honor, and glory to God for all He has given us and for all He has sacrificed to give you and I eternal life. No matter what is going on in your life, health problems, love relationships turned upside down, poor medical reports, loss of employment, facing an unexpected move, financial burdens, whatever it might be, always remember the one who gave you the gift of life. Regardless of what people say or how you feel, all honor and glory belong to God. He is the one who deserves to be praised for all the things that we have. Today's message is about the less fortunate. Holidays should be a time of reflection. And here are three very important things to remember during the holiday celebrations, including Thanksgiving, which we've already celebrated a few days ago, Christmas, and the New Year. First, do not allow the pain of the past to contaminate your celebration of today. So, make a decision this year that there will be no more holiday blues. If the devil starts to remind you of a pained past, and then get your Bible out, folks, and bathe your soul with the Word of God. Do not open the door to the devil. Secondly, do not lose God in the feast before us. And you might ask, what does that mean? Well, during these times of celebration, I believe that many people have a tendency to lose God in the midst of the celebration, when God really needs to be, must be, the center of our thanks. The pilgrims, the Indians, Santa Claus, they did not die for our sins, but Jesus did. Creation didn't give you the gift of life. God did. Thirdly, always remember the promptings of the Holy Spirit. During these seasons of celebration, God may direct you through the Holy Spirit to be kind to somebody. Perhaps a homeless person may approach you or a family in need. Do not ignore those people in need. Friends, you never know when you may be used by God to be an answer to somebody's prayer during these holiday seasons. Remain in the spirit of gratitude, because in the blink of an eye, you may be the one in need, the less fortunate. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible tells us, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Would you bow your head and join me in an opening prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. We are joined here together to get to know you better and to receive your word today, your guidance, during this time when there are so many people in need. Dear Heavenly Father, you know all of your children and their needs far better than we do. Please use each of us as an answered prayer for one of your children in need, today, through the holiday seasons, and every day of the year. Dear Heavenly Father, we intercede for those that do not have shelter of their own. Father, bless them with protection from the elements. Bless them to have sufficiency of food and clothing. Bless them with joy and peace of mind. We know you are able to protect your people and to supply their every need. We hear the persistent call to feed the hungry. Find shelter for those who have none. We hear the desperate cries for families to be reconciled, for mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical healing for all. Dear Heavenly Father, stir our hearts to move more deeply in our walk with Jesus, to be more Christ-like, and for there to be less of us and more of you. Help us to answer the question, why do we feel comfortable living as we do, being so blessed, when others do not have even their basic needs met? Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to not be hypocrites of lip service, but be disciples that you have called us to be, disciples of action. Keep our hearts soft enough to keep hearing the cry of the lonely, the hungry, the homeless, the sick, the elderly, the small children from dysfunctional homes, the disabled, the veterans who have been lost in the cracks that served our country for you and I, for those people who are financially impoverished, who barely manage to make ends meet each month and have nothing extra to survive on. Father, please remind us that we cannot rest fully secure in our own homes each night until all of your children are at least, at last, home, safe and secure. And dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel, and let the words I speak be breathed into me from you, and not something that I just thought up. I pray that each person in the listening audience will receive the message as you want them to hear. We thank you in advance for these answered prayers, for what you have done for us, and for all the things that you will do for us in the future. And in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in that opening prayer. So let's begin, shall we? Friends, we all have God-given gifts and talents. But for many years, I asked myself and I asked God, what is my purpose? What is my gift, my talent? I've always had a passion to help people, particularly the elderly, children from dysfunctional families, the homeless, the less fortunate. When I was much younger, I never really thought of it as a God-given talent or a gift, but something that I just really liked doing. Something I liked doing for everyone else. Anything that made someone feel better and lighten the burden of their life. I never wanted anything in return. I never asked for anything in return. The reward for me was and is giving. Seeing someone's eyes light up and sparkle with that renewed hope in humanity, that someone cares enough to help them. Anyway, one of the many days that I was asking God to reveal my purpose, I heard Him clearly tell me that this was my purpose. God has given me a giving heart, a heart with a passion to help those in need. Shaziz and I have taken in many people over the years who didn't have a home and helped them get back on their feet and find a home for themselves. We have been burnt several times, but we don't regret helping any of those people in need. God continues to lead us to people with a need, and we are obedient to that calling. Friends, God tells us that we reap what we sow. Besides, there is no guarantee that we won't find ourselves in that very same or similar situation, needing some help ourselves someday. I always try to treat others the way that I want to be treated. I may not be going through some of the things that other people are, but I can still sympathize, and I can show them empathy and compassion. And I've been down some pretty hard roads myself, and so, you know, the trials and the tribulations that we have, sometimes we don't always understand why we go through all those. But it's been my past experience that some of the trials and tribulations that I have gone through and continue to go through, that at some point later on down in my life when I'm through that crisis, that God will bring me somebody else that is going through a similar situation now, and I'm better equipped to listen and to share insight and better equipped at finding the right things that God wants me to say. There's a special friend in my life right now that's going through a very tough time. Her mom's health is deteriorating, and her health isn't that great either. She's had a lot going on in her life. And now, a year later, after my dad has passed away, I can be there for her in a way that I would not have been able to be there for her a year or two or 3 years ago, because I wouldn't have gone through some of the similar things that she's going through now. But, folks, don't ever ask yourself, well, why me? Because why not you? All the trials and the tribulations that we go through just make us stronger and equip us to help others more. So I can visualize what it must be like for some of those people in their shoes. And I know that I would want someone kind and compassionate to come into my life and help me instead of just judging and turning their back on me because of appearances or whatever. Friends, this topic is so very important to me, and I try to revisit it a few times a year. Sometimes I only, you know, revisit it once a year, but particularly around the holiday seasons, particularly around this time of the year, I try to at least revisit it at least one time, if not twice, because I believe in this so much. It is so important to me, as it should be to all of you. God is love, and we should also be all about love and helping one another, just as God loves and helps us. I want to share something real quick with you about a memory from my childhood. I believe this memory has a lot to do with why people in need mean so much to me. Aside from the fact that, as I said, I've gone through some pretty tough times in my life too, and I've been at the top and I've been at the bottom. And that too has played a role in who I am today. But I want to specifically talk about this childhood memory right now. I was born and raised on a family farm that had been in my family for many generations. This farm has a lot of history and holds a lot of my roots, going way back from my grandparents to my great-grandparents and great-greats. And it is still in my family today, and my mom lives there. From the time I was about 7 years old until I graduated, I drove grain trucks using the old Montgomery Ward catalogs, if you guys know what that is. Some of you, some of the older audience, more of my age, might particularly know what I'm talking about, but they used to have old Montgomery Ward catalogs were like 2 and 3 inches thick. So anyway, I used to use those to sit on because I was too short to see over the steering wheel driving the grain trucks. I had to stand up to use the brake and the accelerator, which now seems pretty scary that my folks would have turned me loose with a great big huge grain truck at 7 years old. Because when I think about when my daughter, Kara, was 7 years old, there is no way I would have put her behind the wheel of a grain truck, and I wouldn't do that with my grandchildren today. But we lived in a different time back then, and everybody chipped in, and the children, the adults, the whole family. It didn't matter how young or old you were. You all congregated together on each other's farms, and you pitched in from sun up to sundown. They were long, hard days, but everybody back in those days did their fair share of work, and nobody stopped until that day's work was done. But back in those days, children worked just as hard around the farm, in the garden, tending the lawn, and planting and harvesting the fields. It was very hard work. When I was a little girl, maybe between 5 and 8 years old, during planting and harvesting seasons in the fields, we were all out helping plant or taking grain to the local elevators. I remember that I would ride with my mom to the local elevators to drop off our grain. And many days we would work until dark, and many days my mom and I would stop by the local grocery store to pick up something fast to fix for dinner. Being out in the fields all day and driving the grain trucks all day, naturally, one's hands would get dirty. And the grain trucks, the steering wheels were old and you know, they had grime on them and things like that, and your hands would naturally just kind of become discolored from all that. But I can remember that each time we went to the grocery store when we were working in the fields, when Mom went to the counter to pay for the grocery purchases, the cashiers would look at her with that look, you know, you know what I'm talking about, that look, you know, that you're just not quite good enough. They would drop her change in her hand because they didn't want to touch her hands. Mom would share with me when she got out to the truck just how much that really hurt her feelings. The grocery store attendants did not know my mom, but just because of appearances from a hard day's work out in the field, they judged her incorrectly and unfairly. Not all of us get the luxury of working nice, clean jobs out of the elements. But what hurt my mom hurt me too. I loved my mom, and I didn't like seeing people look at her in the way that they did. I grew, moved away from the farm, and found myself in various forms of customer service jobs, from banking to convenience stores. But that childhood memory always stuck with me, and I always made sure that when I gave someone their change, I placed it in their hand. I made contact with their hand. And many times, people would come in from working all day. Perhaps they were a mechanic and they hadn't had time to wash their hands yet. Maybe they had oil and grease all over them. Friends, I have had people tell me, and it's sad, but I have had people tell me many times over, "Oh, just put the change on the counter and I'll pick it up. My hands are dirty." But you know what? My response to that was always the same, that I didn't care if their hands were dirty. It just showed that they had done a hard day's work, and besides, I could clean up just as they could. See, what they didn't know about me was I'm an old farm girl at heart, and dirt don't bother me. My motto is actually, dirt don't hurt. You would be surprised at the number of people who looked at me with shock and surprise in their eyes because I wasn't afraid of touching them or getting their dirt on me. But, you know, I earned a lot of respect from people, too. I don't know, perhaps I was one of the few that they knew that did that. Before I get started on the rest of the show, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. But let that resonate in your mind for a while. Maybe perhaps some of you out there have had that same experience or a similar experience. Stay tuned for the rest of this message after the break. This first one is Come to the River by Rhett Walker.
I'm torn between myself and your truth. These cursed memories forever seeping through. Oh, my thirst for myself left me wanting more. Till I found myself face down on your shore. You say, come to the no more. My restless heart, oh, led me astray. To my selfish pride, I became my own slave. But you placed a thirst in me with no drink inside.
Let your fear control it. Tell it to move, it'll move. second wind. It's not as high as you think it is. Don't give up, don't you quit.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me on the Hope Show today. I'm happy that you have decided to join me here. If you are just tuning in, today's message is about the less fortunate, you know, the needy, the homeless, etc. So I'm just going to jump right back into today's message. As we all know, a good share of the people on earth are losing hope and faith in this world. The government, the different religions, other people in general, even our own loved ones. We are losing faith in ourselves and in our jobs. It seems like the whole world feels despair. And so this next thing that I want to share with you, it's an article that I read a long time ago, but it's worth sharing again and again. But every time I revisit this subject on the less fortunate and the needy and all this stuff, I always come back to this article, and I always share it over and over again because I feel like it is such a powerful message. And so here we go, people. It starts out and it talks about this pastor by the name of Jeremiah Stepak, and he transformed himself into a homeless person and went to this 10,000 member church that he was to be introduced as the head pastor of that morning. He walked around his soon-to-be church for 30 minutes while it was filling with people for service. Only 3 people out of the 7,000 to 10,000 people said hello to him. He asked people for change to buy food. No one in the church would give him change. He went into the sanctuary to sit down in front of the church and was asked by the ushers if he would please move to sit in the back of the church. He greeted people to be greeted back with stares and dirty looks, with people looking down on him and judging him. As he sat in the back of the church, he listened to the announcements and such. When all that was done, the elders went up and were excited to introduce the new pastor of the church to the congregation. "We would like to now introduce to you Pastor Jeremiah Stepak." The congregation looked around, clapping with joy and anticipation. The homeless man sitting in the back stood up and started walking down the aisle. The clapping stopped, with all eyes on him. He walked up to the altar and he took the microphone from the elders, who were in on this, by the way, and paused for a moment, and then he recited, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to eat? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit? And the king will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And after he recited this, he looked toward the congregation, and he told them what he had experienced that morning. Many began to cry, and many heads were bowed in shame. And he said, Today I see a gathering of people, not a church of Jesus Christ. The world has enough people, but not enough disciples. When will you decide to become disciples? He then dismissed the service until next week. He didn't even continue with the service that week. He cut it short, dismissed the church to think on what had just happened for the upcoming week, saying to the people of the church, I only see a gathering of people in the church this morning, not a church of Jesus Christ. Being a Christian is more than something that you claim. It's something you live by and share with others. Friends, we're not supposed to judge, but sometimes human nature, we all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God. And how many of you out there yourself have passed judgment on someone later to find out that you were very wrong? We are supposed to love, support, and help one another, especially the least of our people. For the most part, society looks down on those who look different from ourselves. They shun their fellow brothers and sisters if they don't measure up to our standards. Society insinuates that if you aren't clean physically, if your clothes are tattered and worn or dirty looking, if you look scruffy, if you are seen searching in dumpsters for food, or laying on a park or subway bench, even hitchhiking, or if you are asking for government assistance for food or supplemental income, that you are trash, unworthy, not good enough, contagious, if you will. No one wants to touch you, hang out with you, or offer assistance to you for fear that they themselves may be shunned in society, or even worse yet, that they may catch something from you. No human life is without worth. Is it any wonder why so many people in this world lose hope and lose faith for anything and everything around them? Would you not feel the same way if the shoe were on the other foot? A human being can only be put down, trodden on, ignored, remain uncared for or considered, be shown a lack of respect and love for so long before they themselves feel as if they aren't worth anything. They start to believe the lies that they hear or see, believe the stigmas that society has placed upon them. They start to believe that they have no purpose on this earth, that nobody cares about them, that their situation or their circumstances will never change because they are bad people. People are not bad. People make wrong choices. So how do you keep your hope and faith alive within yourself while society is ever declining? Faith and hope are what keep us alive. Hope is the element that has the power to keep our faith alive. For it not only helps us to believe in something, but also helps us to keep believing and moving forward. Without these key elements in our life, we lose purpose. Without God, we lose purpose. Society is ever declining. Waiting is the essential aspect of faith and hope. We know that when we wait, if it is God's will for our life, something good will happen. If we believe, if we have enough faith. But we must wait patiently. Not everything is meant to be. Not everything that comes our way is at the pace we would like. But you must keep your faith and hope alive in order to believe and wait patiently to see what is in store for us. Perhaps we won't get what we want, but we will receive something far better for us. Hope brings joy and helps us to keep on believing. It's because of hope that we can wait patiently in the Lord. It makes us believe that we are waiting for something that is worthy and that we will not be disappointed. To remain strong in our hope and in our faith, we also need such qualities as endurance and perseverance. By exhibiting patience, we can overcome our feelings of doubt or hopelessness, knowing and resting assured that if we believe in God strongly enough in something, that we will ask and that we shall receive. We humans would prefer to see something tangible at work. We want quick results. We are impatient and we want what we want now. We don't want to have to wait, work, or be patient to get what we want. We oftentimes want instant gratification. But fellow brothers and sisters, that's not how life works. That's not how God works. We don't need to see something to believe it. But you have to hold on to hope and faith and believe that such things are being prepared for you. And when the time is right, whatever that is will come into your life. God will give you the blessing that He's been working on in your behalf. It's all in the timing, friends. God is very strict about certain laws. You have to earn what you receive in this life. If you don't take things a little serious and work toward achieving your goals by honest measures, good morals, good self-character, patience, love for God with all your heart, endurance, hope and faith, perseverance, then chances are your life will not turn out as you had hoped, and you will be instructed to go back and get it right the next time. Life is designed that way for a reason. It's designed that way so that we can live our life in joy, peace, living in faith and hope, love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness, so that when we do receive our bounty, that we will be thankful and appreciative and not take those things for granted, that we will give all the praise and the glory and the honor where it belongs, and that's to God. We don't always have control of our lives. Having a defeatist attitude will only keep you grounded in defeat. Having such negative thoughts, you will never be able to overcome life's obstacles or receive such wonderful blessings that God has in store for you. Your blessings will stay on a shelf in God's storehouse, waiting for you to get it right. Hope is an important factor in a person's life. A hopeless person is a helpless person. Without hope, there can be no faith. Faith is the substance of all things hoped for. But faith can't do anything until hope is established. And for as long as each of us shall live, we must keep our faith and our hope alive. We must always love God and trust and believe in Him with all of our heart and our soul. I know that keeping the faith and keeping a positive attitude can be one of the hardest things to do. It seems like a certain time in our lives, the roughest times in our lives, that all we want to do is give up. Keeping our heads up, moving one foot in front of the other, getting out of bed in the morning, being social, kind, and loving toward others when you don't feel like it, supporting one another and lending a hand to a fallen fellow brother and sister. These things are crucial to our progress in a positive direction. Even though all of us face adversity in our life, we mustn't give up trying, believing, keeping the faith and the hope in God for a better tomorrow. Let not your heart be troubled. Keep your eyes firmly planted in front of you. Keep moving forward. and have some faith. Even if you just have the faith of a mustard seed, God says that's enough. There's always hope for a better tomorrow. Don't look down on your fellow brothers and sisters unless you are offering them a hand to help them up. I want to share a quick quote from Paula White. Everyone has weaknesses and greatnesses. Your words can have the ability to pull either of those out of a person. And that is so true. Society doesn't easily accept those people who are different from ourselves. And even as children, we are taught not to look at that person, not to speak to this or that person, or don't touch so-and-so. And I realize that in most cases, this is just for the safety of your children because they aren't developed enough to know what is safe and what isn't. But some of these people are homeless people. Some are people that look filthy at the end of a hard day's work because of their job. You know, the job makes them look like a grease monkey sometimes. Some of these people are the elderly, who are maybe ailing or old age hasn't been very kind to them. But they are by no means contagious. There are stigmas about biker groups, and yet I know of many bikers who do mission work for the Lord. Folks, don't judge a book by the cover. I have come to know a lot of bikers, and they are very, very nice, God-fearing people, common people, just like you and I. Sometimes people hit rock bottom in their lives for many, many different reasons. This is when they need hope and faith the most. They need a helping hand. They don't need somebody looking down on them and making them feel worse about themselves than they already feel about themselves. Sometimes that's all they need. Sometimes that's all they have. You know? Sometimes even that is failing them. Their hope and their faith, the little bit of hope and faith that they have. Sometimes even that is failing them, and they feel as if they are gaining speed, falling into the abyss. It has been my experience that the people who are considered to be the outcasts of the world are the kindest, most willing to help other people in need. They give more freely. Maybe they have nothing to give, but they will still find a way to help. Do you know why that is? Because they know what it's like to have nothing and to get nothing in return. They know the feeling of being alone and feeling as if they have no one to turn to. They know the feeling of despair and hopelessness. Hope is the road. Faith is the victory. In the Bible, God speaks often of the poor and the needy. He commands us to give generously to the less fortunate and to speak up on their behalf. The Bible tells us that generosity yields an amazing crop. When we refresh others through giving, we are refreshed ourselves. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into you, into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." God has given each of us an important responsibility. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. When it is in your power to do something, to act. In Proverbs 3:27-28, the Bible says, "Do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back tomorrow and I will give it to you,' when you already have it with you." Friends, those that give to the poor and needy will lack nothing. But those who close their eyes will receive many curses. It says so in Proverbs 28:7. God wants us to set the oppressed free, break every chain of bondage, share your food with the hungry, provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, clothe them. Do not turn away from your own flesh and blood. If you do these things, instead of pointing finger and using malicious talk, your light will rise in the darkness. Your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always, and He will satisfy your needs, and He will strengthen you. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. In Isaiah 58:6-11, It tells us to give generously to the poor and do so without a grudging heart. The Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything that you put your hand into. God's word is very clear, friends. We are all called to help the poor and the needy. It may be a simple, encouraging word, a smile, or an act of kindness. God may even call you to take up the cause of the needy by defending their rights. But whatever you do, do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy. Learn to do what is right, what God wants you to do. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. The Bible says, "Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who wrong the less fortunate of God's people. Woe to those who oppress, prey on the widowed, rob from the fatherless." What will you do on the day of reckoning when disaster comes to you from afar if you ignore what God has called you to do? Who will you turn to? It is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed are the ones who are kind to their neighbor. It should be our desire, as it is God's desire, that there be no poor or needy people among us, that we will all share in God's inheritance, His rich blessings. In 1 John 3:17, the Bible says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be with us or be in us?" Friends, we are to merely love others. We're not to just merely love others with our words or our speech, but also with our actions and truth. In Luke 14:14, the Bible says, Jesus said to his host, "When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Friends, we are called to consider others as more important than ourselves. And this includes those with emotional or physical disabilities, those suffering an illness, widowed, orphaned, homeless, poor, hungry, those who don't have clothes or a bed to sleep, maybe a lack of transportation, maybe they're jobless. We are called to love everyone and to think of everyone as more important than we. God is an advocate for the needy. He is their refuge, a stronghold in times of trouble. God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. I love this verse in Psalm 72:12-14. "For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight." Wow. That's so good, I'm going to repeat it. Psalm 72:12-14. Write that down, folks. I love this verse. "For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence. For precious is their blood in his sight." How many of you out there in this world today have maybe been a person in need, a homeless person, hungry, without shelter? What has God done for you? How far has He brought you? Did He not deliver you when you cried out? Did He not help you when you were afflicted? Did He not take pity on you when you were weak? Did He not save you from death? Did He not rescue you from what was going on in your world at that time. Friends, if you've been through an experience like that yourself, you know how important it is to help someone else. You know what it feels like to feel helpless and lonely and forgotten. Friends, whether you've had that experience or not, don't pass somebody by that needs you. Are you actively helping people who are less fortunate? Ask God to give you these opportunities to put people in need in your path. God will use you to bring hope and help to a family or an individual in need. All of you have a lot to offer to another one of God's children. Friends, please, during the month of December, the Christmas season, and then beyond that into the new year, please look for opportunities to help someone. Don't turn your back on someone. Accept God's calling and love everyone as God loves you. Hasn't God shown you grace and mercy, forgiveness and love when you didn't deserve it? Yes, I think we all have received that. Leave no man or woman or child behind. Give somebody a renewed, fresh hope and faith. Find someone to adopt and help them get back on their feet. I promise you won't regret it. Because it is one of the most rewarding feelings ever. Let us bow our head in closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in the blink of an eye, our lives can change. Our goals, our dreams, our priorities sometimes can be forced to take a different turn. But we are so grateful for all the little things. We are so grateful for you, Father God. Father, be our helper and our protector. And for all of your children on earth, save the afflicted among us. Have mercy on the lowly. Raise up the fallen. Appear to the needy. Heal the ungodly. Restore the wanderers of your people. Feed the hungry. Ransom our prisoners. Raise up the sick and comfort the faint-hearted. And Father, right now we thank you for this answered prayer. And in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Friends, I sincerely hope that God's message has resonated in each and every one of your hearts today. I hope He has given each of you a special message. We are only on this earth for a short time, and life is too short for any of us to fall through the cracks and struggle with the many different afflictions that can come upon us. Be more aware of your surroundings. Look for ways to help others. There are so many people in need. So many people peddling on the street corners. So many commercials and fundraisers asking for money for another cause. And sadly, in today's society, we live in Satan's playground, and there are scams, unfortunately, that take advantage of people who try to help. And it's hard to decipher between a scam and the real thing. It's hard to know if your money is really going to where you intend for it to. It's easy to become callous to all the people on the street corners holding up their signs begging for help. It's easy to become desensitized to all the fundraising for the many different causes that we see. But friends, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and He is there to guide us to do right from wrong. Friends, I always go with my gut instinct. The little voice inside of me that I know is God talking to me, guiding me. If I don't have a good feeling about something, then I don't do it. But also, in the same turn, if I feel a prompting that just simply will not go away, that refuses to listen to my, no, I'm not going to do this, an urgency to do something, then I don't walk away from that either. If I see a homeless person or any other person in need, yes, even a person on a street corner with a sign, sometimes I am prompted to give money to someone. I obey, because I know it is the Holy Spirit convicting me of what God wants me to do for that individual. If God tells me to go talk to someone or offer them a ride, give them a hug, buy a few groceries and deliver it, bring someone out of the cold, heat, snow, or rain, by golly, friends, I do it, because I know that's God talking to me. If God tells me to adopt someone or a family for the holidays, I do it. You never know when you may be entertaining angels. I have seen people that are on the street, and you give them a $5 or a $10 bill, and oh boy, friends, the light that shines in their eyes is so bright. They look at you with total amazement, appreciation, surprise, and gratitude, like that's the only money they have. And you can see it in their eyes. They can go eat now. They can get in and out of the elements for a moment, find shelter, be comfortable, like us, the things that we take for granted. Friends, I thank God for you, each of you, every day. I pray for each of you. You are my extended family. I love you, my fellow brothers and sisters, my friends in Christ. I just challenge each and every one of you. Ask God for opportunity. He will place people in your life. And not only will He bless them richly, He'll bless you richly too. When you see somebody in need, whatever that need is, don't think about what you're going to get in return. Those people can't give you anything in return except gratitude, appreciation. But that's all we need. That is our reward. God bless each and every one of you out there. Until next week, same time, same place. May God keep you and protect you and your families. First song is Walk by Faith by Jeremy Camp and Never Give Up by Yolanda Adams. God bless. See, well, because this
faith. Well, even when I cannot see, well, because this broken love prepares your will for me. Well, I will walk by faith, well, even when I cannot see. Oh, well, because this broken road prepares your will.
Feel it now. Don't you know you're almost there?